A Pair of Blue Eyes by Thomas Hardy. Dramatized for radio in 3 episodes by Jane Beeson. With Jeremy Irons as Henry Knight, Janet Moore as Elfriede, Michael Maloney as Stephen, Nigel Stock as Parson Swancourt, and Vivian Pickles as Mrs. Swancourt. Episode 3.
The night after our visit to the vault, I had lain awake pondering Elfriede's strange behavior there. It seemed to me that she should be able to accept death with more composure. She had seemed to recover herself on the way home, but remained very quiet, only breaking her silence to tell me that she had something of a very private nature to confess, but preferred to wait until the next day. Accordingly, when the morning dawned fine and clear, I suggested to her that we should go for a walk down through the woods by the stream.
Harry.
What is it?
I've forgotten my hat.
Oh, never mind. Wait here, and I'll go back and fetch it.
So silly of me. I think I left it beside the gate.
I won't be long.
I'll go down the bank to see if the hazelnuts are ripe.
I suppose I mustn't trespass here, Miss Swancourt.
You may walk where you like, Mrs. Jethway. I won't disturb you.
You disturb my mind, for my boy is there still. He is gone from my body.
It was very sad when he died.
He died because of your falseness to him. You killed my son.
I liked him best. There was no more to it than that.
You let him kiss you.
I did not. That's a wicked lie. He may have tried to, but I never let him. I told him I never wanted to see him again.
But you didn't tell your father.
I didn't tell him for your son's sake, because he begged me not to. Please go away, Mrs. Jethway.
For his body was cold, you took another, then a third. Have you forgotten the journey to London with Stephen Smith? There's enough in that to ruin a woman's name, far less light than yours.
Go away at once.
Does your new man know of it? I don't think so. I could tell him a tale enough.
Do it then. Go on. Try to ruin me, you scandalous woman. You'll be back in him, Luke.
I'll do what I want in my own good time.
Sun shines on me. I feel cold with fear. It seems I shall never escape Mrs. Jethway. But wherever I go, she will be there, waiting for me, reminding me of my guilty secret.
I'm sorry it's been so long, but I've brought you something as well as your hat. Here. Well, take it.
Oh, not those beautiful earrings. You shouldn't tempt me a third time, Harry.
Will you accept?
I'll put them on at once. Oh, Harry, they're so fine.
May I put them on for you? I should like to touch your pretty ears, Oakley.
I don't think it would be quite right for you two. Shall we sit on that boulder by the stream? I want to trail my hands in the water.
Oakley, be fair to me. Let me do as I ask.
I should like it. But is it right to allow you?
Of course. And I'm going to.
Oh, you shall.
There's one. Now turn your head.
No, I couldn't.
Why not?
I don't know exactly.
You must.
It agitates me, sir.
What is it but a mere nothing? Now turn round, Elfie. Do as I ask.
No. Oh, no.
Elfriede. When shall we be married? No. Don't answer now. Think about it.
Oh, there's no need for me to think about it, Harry.
I should like it to be tomorrow.
Tell me how I look in your earrings.
More perfect than ever. Fancy that I have been able to improve you, Elfie.
Hold me while I bend over the pool to see.
Can you see yourself?
Yes, but I must be careful.
I lost my other earring in nearly the same way.
Oh?
I mean that I lost one last summer when I was out riding.
And will you lose one of mine in the same way, my Elfried?
Harry?
Hmm?
Isn't it rather too humid in here for you? And dull, too, watching me.
No, not at all. Tell me, what plant is that you're tending with such care?
A jasmine, of a special indoor variety. Harry, I'd like to give you something from here to make you think of me when you're back in your chamber.
Elfried, tell me, do you love me more or less for what I told you?
I don't know, for you've told me so many things.
I was thinking of the confession you coaxed out of me, that I've never been a lover before.
It is satisfying to be the first in your heart.
Then I shall ask you a question now, though not with great seriousness. And stop that for a moment, Elfie, and come and sit by me. Have you ever had a lover? Oh, I'm almost sure you have not, but have you?
Not, as it were, a lover. Not anyone worth mentioning, Harry.
Still, he was a lover.
Well, a sort of lover, I suppose.
A lover?
Yes. Yes, he could have been called my lover. You don't mind what I've just said, Harry, do you?
But of course I don't seriously mind. No reasonable man could. I only thought you hadn't, that was all. But did you love him a little too, Elfie?
A little. I think I must have.
But not much?
I'm not sure how much, exactly.
In any case, you didn't love him a great deal.
I may have loved him, but I didn't admire him.
But you loved him. Deeply?
I don't know how much you mean by deeply. Don't question me so. I didn't love him as I do you. I didn't think him cleverer than myself or anything. I did not truly.
I will not say another word about it.
Promise me you won't think about it either. I know you think of weaknesses in me when I'm not with you, when I can't explain to you. Oh, sometimes I wish you were not so exacting, Harry. Ordinary men are not so particular as you are. When someone is not too fastidious, doesn't feel too deeply, everything seems easier.
It is true that shallowness has the advantage of drowning no one.
But I love you how you are. If you knew how much you mean to me.
Even though I wish you had not cared for anyone before me.
I'm glad to catch you without Elfried for a few moments.
Yes, I left her finishing her watering in the conservatory. The humidity was becoming oppressive.
I wanted to ask you, when you remember writing this, I've just been reading it. A loved one who received a first kiss gracefully must be supposed to have had some previous practice. Really, Harry? Did you test your theory?
Well, I do believe that remark to be perfectly true, and having written it, I will defend it. But I have since come to regret it, because it's the kind of remark calculated to do harm. Every literary jack becomes a gentleman if he writes a few indifferent satirical remarks on women. So, as I say, I am rather ashamed of it.
Well, you have fallen in love since, Harry, and that makes a difference.
That's true, but not my reason.
Oh, my dear, we've been arguing, and I fancy I've been rather cruel to you, Harry.
Oh, I can't believe that.
It's about an article I once wrote. I have admitted to having grown older and, I hope, wiser since I wrote it. But I still stand by the gist of what I said.
It is the one about the first kiss, Elfried. You've read it, I know.
Oh, yes.
I think we have talked about it more than it merits. I was hoping, Elfried, that you'd agree to take me to the cliffs again.
Oh, Harry, you don't mean the cliff of our terrible adventure.
Oh, no, I have no desire to go there ever again either. No, it was the other one you told me about that I should like to see. What was it? Was it Windy Beak?
Oh, yes. Why not go to Windy Beak? It's very spectacular, I'm told.
It's much further than the other cliff.
But you could ride.
Will you ride too, Harry?
I think I'd prefer to walk. But you shall ride.
Last year, I rode ahead on Pansy and Stephen walked behind. Now it is Harry who follows me. How different it all is. I never scamper on ahead, for it might displease him. It is best when he talks and I listen. Then I don't show my childishness and ignorance.
Besides, Pansy's pace lulls me till I am as a seabird that rises and sinks gently on each wave. Only I don't feel quiet and in harmony with myself, as they must do.
Elfie, shall you dismount and we will walk together to a safe spot to look out over the sea?
Yes. I'll tie Pansy up here.
Take my arm. I wonder if lovers in the past have walked along here as we do.
Yes, I wonder.
Let's sit here. This rock makes a perfect seat. Just the place to look out over the sea. Come a little closer. Now, Elfie. Now you can make that confession you promised me.
Oh, it was nothing. Just that I told you one day, or rather I gave you to understand what was not true. I think you thought I was to be 20 next birthday, but it was my last that I was 20.
You are absurdly scrupulous, Elfie. But I like you all the better for it.
You don't praise me. I don't deserve it.
No. I shall not give you more than your due. But if there's one thing endears me to a woman, it is honesty. And this you most certainly have.
Oh, I hope so much that our happiness can last. Do you think it can, Harry?
Why shouldn't it? The sun seems to be blessing us by shining directly on us. And you, Elfie, what's the matter? Oh. What are you looking at?
Never mind. It's not important. Please go on with what you were saying.
Oh, you weren't listening. Is there something that has dropped down there?
I thought the sun sparkled on something bright. I was trying to see what it was.
There is something there. I can see it glistening deep in the crack. But move a little. I'll try and prise it up with my knife. Got it. Well, I do believe it's an earring. It's not yours, Elfie, surely.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it rather remarkable we should happen on it like this? You didn't tell me you'd been here before.
No, I didn't want anything to interfere with our being happy together.
Were you with the other man? The one you told me about?
Yes.
Is there more you have not told me? I mean, were you engaged to be married to him?
Yes. But not formally, exactly.
Oh, Elfie. Engaged to be married?
It was a secret engagement. Oh, but Harry, don't look so disappointed. Don't blame me.
Oh, no, I won't.
Why do you say it like that? Please speak. Answer me, Harry.
Elfie, I told you that I'd never kissed a woman until I kissed you. I know a kiss is not much. But I have a peculiar weakness owing to my way of life, and I must suffer for it, I suppose. You see, I had hoped, what I had no right to, that you had not allowed your former lover the freedom you grant me. He used to kiss you? Of course he did.
Yes.
Perhaps you allowed him more intimacy in his lovemaking.
No, I did not.
Perhaps then he adopted it without permission.
Yes, he may have.
And I have been too reticent, thinking you would not like me to push you because of your innocence. I've been afraid to kiss you more than twice. But he obviously had no such scruples.
Please, Harry, don't say any more. You make me feel so terribly guilty.
You are trembling all over, Elfie. Surely you cannot have much more to reveal to me.
No, nothing. But you make me feel I have done so much wrong.
I wanted to think of you as mine. I know it was an absurd idea, but that's how I hoped it would be. And I cannot help being jealous over you. It's my nature. I can't alter it. I hate the fact you have been made love to before. Yes, I hate it.
Look at me, Harry. Your face is set so hard. What are you thinking?
It was here he first kissed you. Wasn't it?
Yes.
You only tell me what I wring out of you. Why is that? Why have you been so secretive when I have told you everything? It seems almost that you made a fool of me, agreeing with what I say, my ideas, but in fact having acted in quite a contrary fashion. If you had been more open and had more confidence in me, then where did he kiss you besides here?
Sitting on a grave in the churchyard and other places.
What a poor human being I am to play second fiddle in everything and be deluded by fibs.
Oh, no.
No, I don't want to upset you anymore. So, I'll forget it. It makes no difference, you know, Elfriede, to how I feel for you.
I'm very cold. May we go home now, Harry?
What's that? Quiet, Candy. Catch your rain, please, Harry.
Steady now, steady.
That's better.
It's the tower. Look, one side of it has fallen away.
Did you see it go? It came down rather quicker than we intended. The men have gone home. They were coming back tomorrow to finish undermining it, but it couldn't wait. Down it came.
Poor old tower.
I'm sorry to see it go.
Never mind. We shall have a new one designed by a first-rate London man.
Let us go on home, Harry. It's quite a shock to me to see that fine old tower destroyed.
I suppose there's never been a view from the nave out over the sea in quite this way since the church was first built.
The tower has torn down so much with it. Seems strange to see it so ruined.
Not ruined, Elfie. Soon you'll have it back as new. Did you know that you're coloured with blue and purple and crimson from the moonlight falling on you through the east window?
Oh, and you are the same.
Soon we shall be kneeling where we sit. But I don't feel easy in my mind. Why don't you answer? Why don't you tell me everything? What are you looking at? Ah, is that the gravestone you talked of? Where that other one kissed you?
It's Felix Jethway's grave. And I did not love or encourage him, Harry. Not one little bit, I promise you.
But you let him kiss you, you said so. You were in some degree engaged to him, so he surely kissed you. For God's sake, Elfriede, tell me the truth. Why do you fool with me like this? I must know everything before we marry.
Oh, Harry, don't treat me so cruelly. I am truthful by nature, I am. And I don't know how I've made you misunderstand, but I was frightened, you see.
Did you or didn't you say you were sitting on that grave?
Yes, I did. It was true.
Then how in the name of heaven can a man sit on his own gravestone?
That was someone else. Oh, forgive me, Harry, won't you?
Then there were two before me.
I suppose so, but I never loved the one in the grave.
But you sat on top of it with someone else, vowing to be faithful to him forever, no doubt. Elfriede, answer me.
Well, of course we promised, Ben.
Of course! You treat the subject very lightly.
It's over, Harry, can't you understand? It's nothing to me now.
Then tell me straight what happened. I must know. Is there more?
Not much more.
Elfriede, what you are hiding must be something exceptional. Could it make it impossible for me or anyone else to marry you?
I didn't ask you a single question about your past. All I cared was that wherever you came from, whatever you had done, whoever you had loved, you were mine at last. If in the first place you'd known I had loved someone before you, wouldn't you have cared for me at all?
I won't say that. Although it was the idea of your inexperience that had a great appeal for me, I must admit. But it is your secretiveness that I detest.
Am I such a characterless toy as to have no attraction in me apart from freshness? Haven't I any intelligence? You said I was clever and imaginative and isn't that anything? Aren't I at all beautiful? I'm sure I must be just a little bit. You praise me so much and now it all counts for nothing because I accidentally saw a man before you.
Accidentally saw a man hardly describes it. You loved him.
Only a little, I told you.
But you refused to tell me how and why it ended. Oh, won't you tell me now, Elfie, please?
You have no right to question me. You said so yourself. It's unfair. You should trust me as I trust you.
Very well.
I shan't love you if you're so cruel. It is cruel to keep on at me like you do.
Oh, heaven knows. I'm sorry. I was carried away by my feeling for you.
I don't mind your cruelness if you will forgive me. I wish I had been as you thought I was. If I'd known I would find you, Harry, I should have lived in a nunnery till you came. That way I should have been good enough for you.
Let's go home, Elfie. We've talked enough for one day.
If you wish to take your usual stroll, I can go down to the house alone.
If you're sure you don't mind, then I think I will. Is there someone there?
My God.
Can I help? What are you looking for?
If you've got a light, bring it. I think there's someone trapped under these stones. I distinctly heard a sound.
What? What's this over here?
Good God. Hold the light nearer.
Is she dead?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. Let's get her out.
Come on. Lift her up.
Here's the rectory of the nearest house.
There's the cottage just over here. It's nearer the village. We'll be quicker getting the doctor.
We'll shift to there. You don't recognize her, do you? Get the light on her face.
Oh, Mrs. Jetway. The cottage we are making for is the poor woman's own. I suppose she'd been up to the churchyard to visit her son's grave.
Oh, the wage is almost more than I can manage.
It's another 25 yards, no more.
Is this it?
Yes. Right. Right. I'll go straight for the doctor. You stay here in case she comes round.
I'll stay. But I don't think she'll be coming round.
I sat while the minutes passed. Finally, my eyes got used to the darkness, and I made out a lamp on the table. I lit it. Beside it were writing paper and a blotter. After a little longer, I'm ashamed to say curiosity overcame me. I found myself reading three separate sheets of paper written on in the same hand. Sir, as a woman who was once blessed with a dear son of her own, I implore you to accept a warning. If so, you will deign to receive warning from a stranger before it is too late. Sir, with this letter I enclose to you another which, unaided by any explanation from me, tells a startling tale. I concluded that Mrs. Jethway had some matter of great importance to communicate to someone. I assumed she had both written a fourth version and had gone herself to post it, and that we had discovered her in the rubble of the tower before she was able to return home. The somber mood set by the body before me matched my own. I sank into a reverie that was only broken by the sound of wheels. Within a few moments, the doctor that Lord Luxillian had roused pronounced Mrs. Jethway dead.
What a really perfect evening.
Mm.
How very fortunate we are this year. You must have brought the fine weather with you, Harry.
I'm not usually so lucky.
Oh, I have an apology to make. The postman came after you left today with a letter for you. Got tucked away with mine. Here, take it.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't expecting any letter.
I must confess to feeling quite curious about it. The writing and seal are so very quaint. Oh, forgive me. I'll leave you in peace to read it. Oh,
thank you.
Sir, if you will deign to accept a warning, before it is too late, you will notice this. You are deceived by one who encouraged an honest youth to love her, then slighted him so he died. One who next took a man of no birth as a lover, who was forbidden to the house by her father. One who secretly left her home to be married to that man, met him and went with him to London. One who for some reason returned again unmarried. One who in her after correspondence with him went so far as to address him as her husband. One who wrote the enclosed letter, Elfriede's writing. It can't be. It can't be. I left the house and found a clearing amongst the shrubbery where I could read both letters undisturbed. I read them over and over, then again to make sure I had misconstrued nothing. The lights were on in the room in front of me. Elfriede's. She was at that precise moment passing between the two windows. As I watched, she paused in front of her glass, turned a little, tilted her head and looked at herself again over her shoulder. For all the world, she seemed to me like a coquette. I dropped my eyes, wishing I had not seen. I remained in a despair as I've never known before.
I saw you from my window, Harry. I hope you don't mind my coming.
The dew will make your feet wet.
Oh, I don't mind.
There is danger in getting wet feet.
Harry, what's the matter?
Nothing. Shall we resume the conversation we had last night? No, no, perhaps not. Perhaps I had better not.
I can't tell. I don't know what you mean. Oh, Harry, why didn't you ask to kiss me?
Don't talk of kissing, for God's sake. I should have thought you would have refrained from suggesting it, considering the others you have favored.
Harry! Harry, what has happened? Harry! If I'm a nuisance to you, I'll go away.
No. Listen to me, Elfriede. I have been honest with you now. Will you be with me? If any strange connection has existed between yourself and the predecessor of mine, tell it now. It's better that I should know now, even though the knowledge may part us, than that I should find out later.
But surely you
know... Something has happened, Elfriede. Yes. Something has happened.
Will you forgive me if I tell you everything?
I can't promise. It depends on what you tell me.
Aren't you going to love me anymore, Harry? Oh, please, please love me and speak to me as before. Oh, do, please.
Are you going to act fairly to me or not? What have I done to be treated like this?
I don't know what you're talking about. I should ask you what I have done.
How can you when you know so well? You know I have been kept in ignorance about your former conduct. But had I known about it, I might have acted differently. Tell me, Elfriede. Is the matter you are keeping back from me of the greatest importance?
If I have kept anything hidden, it is because I loved you so and was afraid because I loved you.
Then perhaps now you can answer me plainly.
Yes. Say the hardest words you can think of. I can bear them.
Then look at this letter you wrote.
Oh. Oh, it's not as bad as it seems. I did not want to lose you.
Did you run away with a man you loved? I must know.
Yes.
To marry him?
Yes. Oh, forgive me, Harry. I'd never seen you then.
To London?
Yes, but...
Answer my questions. Nothing else, Elfriede. Did you ever deliberately try to marry him in secret?
No, not deliberately.
But you did it.
Yes, we tried to.
And after that, did you write to him as your husband? And did he address you as his wife?
Listen, oh, listen.
Answer me. That's all I ask.
Yes, we did. I would gladly have told you because I knew I had done nothing wrong, but I didn't dare because I loved you too much. Oh, won't you forgive me ever?
Elfriede, look in my face. And as you believe in God, tell me truly one thing more. Were you away with him alone?
Yes.
Did you return home with him on the same day?
No.
You must forget me. We can't marry, Elfriede.
I know you don't mean what you say. I belong to you, you said, and you're going to keep me for yours.
I have said what I ought only to have thought. And I'm sorry for it. But let me advise you to marry your former lover as soon as you can.
I shall never marry anyone except you, Harry. I am yours for always. You don't mean that you will go away and leave me and not be anything more to me? Oh, you don't. You can't.
I'm going back to the house now. Now, don't follow me. I'd rather you didn't.
Oh, I won't. I won't.
After that, I shall go on to St. Launce's. I did not know at that moment whether or not I meant to go for good. And if I did, I had not the power to tell her so. 10 minutes later, I left the house with directions for my luggage to be sent on if I did not return. As I walked down the valley, I felt a compulsion to stop and look back at the stubble field. Elfried was standing as I had left her, her slight figure silhouetted against the sky. She had not moved a step. The day after my departure from Endlestow, I stood in front of my fire in Beads Inn Chambers. Through the window, a drizzling rain descended on London, making a humid and dreary halo over the lighted streets. I felt immensely depressed. My life at that moment seemed hardly worth continuing.
Elfried!
Harry, where are you? You're killing me. I couldn't help coming. Don't send me away. Don't. Forgive your Elfried for coming. I love you so.
Why have you come to London?
Don't help me punish me. Don't. I couldn't help coming. I thought I should die away from you. Last night when you didn't come back, I couldn't bear it. Let me be with you and see your face. That's all I ask.
Have you come alone?
Yes. It was the most terrible night of my life. And I waited on and on. Still you did not come. Then when in the morning I found your letter saying you had gone, I ran away and caught the train at St. Launce's. I've been travelling all day. You won't make me go home again, will you, Harry? Because I shall love you until I die.
Oh, but Elfie, you can't stay here. It will ruin your name if you run to me like this. Surely you learned something from your first escapade of this sort.
My name? Or do I care for that? I shall soon die, and what good will my name be to me then? Oh, if I could be the man and you the woman, I would not leave you for such a little fault as mine. I wish you had run away with 20 women before we met so I could prove it to you. I wouldn't think it a fault. I'd only be glad to have you. I am true, Harry, I am. Won't you take me back? Say that you love me just the same? I don't want to be separated from you ever. I can't bear it. All the long hours and days and nights and you're not there. Because you hate me.
Not hate you, Elfried. But you can't stay here now, just at present.
No, I mustn't, but I wish I could. I'm afraid that if you lose sight of me, something terrible will happen and we shan't meet again. The thing I most dread is never to see you again.
Oh, I can't send you away, Elfie. I haven't the heart or the will. God knows what dark future may come from your pursuit of me. But I have not the strength to send you away. Here. Rest yourself. And I'll endeavor to collect my thoughts and think what we can do.
Hold me close to you, Harry. Even if you decide I must go. Just this once.
Oh, my Elfie. Oh, my Elfie.
It's probably someone come to take me away from you. Oh, don't let them in.
Whoever it is has let himself in.
Shut them out, Harry, oh, please.
Well, I'll have to see who it is.
Knight, is my daughter with you?
She has been here a short while.
Have the manners to let me pass. As I thought. When will you get over your childish ways and conduct yourself like a sensible woman, Elfried? Is my family's name to be disgraced by acts that would count as a scandal for a washerwoman's daughter? We shall return home at once by the next train.
She is tired, sir. Don't be harsh with her. I implore you to be tender and gentle.
To you, sir, I have little to say. But I do not expect to be told how to treat my daughter. I can only say that the sooner I'm out of your presence, the better I shall like it. Why you could not conduct your courtship like an honest man, I do not know. Why she, a foolish, inexperienced girl, should have been tempted to this piece of folly, I don't know either. But either way, you might have known better, I should have thought.
It is not his fault. He did not ask me to come for
her. If you wish the marriage broken off, why didn't you say so plainly, Mr. Knight? If you didn't intend to marry, why couldn't you have left her alone? Are you ready then, Elfried? We must go.
I'm ready.
I watched her go down the stairs. With a last frantic hope, she might look back. But no. She went out of the door beside her father without once turning her head. From that moment, a conflict arose in me such as I have never experienced before or since. Every instinct in me urged me to go back to Elfrid, to marry her. But my reason prevented me, or so I thought. I argued to myself that Elfrid's childish, uncontrolled behavior and her indiscretion in running after me showed how all too easily she could have acted similarly in the past. Had I, at the time, known that I had in me some of the wrong-headedness often found in scrupulously honest people, understood that truth is frequently in the company of error, then I might have relented and acted more generously towards Elfrid. But as it was, she began to appear to me as a temptation. So much so that it quite escaped my memory that it was she who had undoubtedly saved my life.
Mr. Knight? Oh, can it be you? I saw you from the other side of the lounge.
Oh. Stephen
Smith.
Have you been back in England long?
Only 2 days.
And before that, in India?
Almost to the day since we last met at Endelstow.
Yes. I must congratulate you on your achievements.
They're nothing very extraordinary. A natural professional progress where there was no opposition. What a chance! What a coincidence to meet like this. How have you been? Oh, tell me. Are you married?
I am not. And doubt I ever shall be. May I ask the same question of you?
No. I rather wanted to explain something, and perhaps hear a similar explanation from you.
What is there to explain?
That I lost the woman I was going to marry. You have not married as you intended. We might compare notes.
The truth is, Stephen, I have resolved never to allude to that matter. For which I have a very good reason.
Doubtless, as good a reason as you had for not marrying her.
And what exactly do you mean? You talk insidiously. I had a good reason. A miserably good one, I assure you.
Didn't she love you enough?
You rather strain ordinary courtesy by such a question. I don't understand what you infer. But don't let's quarrel. My manner was rather abrupt, I'm afraid. Put it down to some of the disappointments that have come my way in the last year or two. That portfolio tells me you're busy. May I look at some of your drawings? It's years and years since we've discussed anything of that sort.
Yeah, of course. I'll lay them out.
What are these?
They were intended as a design for a stained glass window.
Who did you use for your model of the Virgin?
My Virgin is entirely imagined.
Are you sure it is not a drawing from memory?
You mean you were the man? Yes. I was. I imagine you're going to ask me why I said nothing when we met at Endelstow.
In the name of God, why didn't you speak?
Blame me if you like, but at the time it seemed best not to.
Oh. You didn't act as I should have done towards you in similar circumstances. I feel... I'll never forget it.
What?
Your behavior at our last meeting in the Luxillian's vault, when I told you Elfrid Swancourt and I were going to be married. It seems the whole world turns on deception and dishonesty.
I could not do other than I did, out of consideration for Elfrid.
Nor could you, out of consideration for her, have married her, I suppose. I would have thought you might have had the decency to marry her.
I'm not sure what you believe to have happened, but let me assure you I had the best reason possible for not marrying her.
And what was that?
I was...
We're getting nowhere, and I'd better go.
No, no, wait. Don't go. I'm certain that I have done nothing sinful. Than love Elfrid.
Was it her doing or yours?
That we parted? Hers entirely.
What was her reason?
I can hardly say.
When I went to bed that night, I felt absurdly excited. Only Stephen, a mere Borculus. Elfriede and his escapade could have been no more than the adventure of two children. I had read far too much into Elfriede's concealment. Her very innocence had led her to place too great an importance on what happened. When I think of reproach, it made me suffer an agony of recrimination to only for her sweetness. And the summer days we had spent together came back to me with a bitter poignancy.
Paddy, I saw you get on, but I couldn't believe my eyes. You never mentioned you'd be travelling southwest.
To meet you here comes equally as a surprise to me. You told me you would not be travelling until tomorrow.
I know. I decided to come today on the spur of the moment. You seem to forget that my family live in Cornwall.
Oh, yes. You're not looking well, Stephen.
You yourself are looking a little strained.
As I find it upsetting wasting so much time at railway stations. They have been attaching a carriage and taking as long about it as they can manage.
Singular enough to look at as carriages go. And richly made. Ah, starting at long last.
How far are you going tonight?
I'm not sure. I'm not expected at home until tomorrow. Are you going to Endelstow?
Since you ask, I must admit that I am. I am going to Endelstow to talk to Elfriede Swancourt. If she is willing, I shall ask her to be my wife.
I had the very same intention.
Forgive me, Stephen, but I think you're making a mistake.
Why don't you say hope instead of think?
Be honest with yourself. Elfriede loved you when she was so young she cannot have known her own mind.
I think she knew her mind as well as I did. We are the same age. If you hadn't intervened...
But don't say that, Stephen. Don't. How can you make out that I had anything to do with your separation? Now be just, please.
But the fact remains, she was mine before she was yours. You knew that. If it hadn't been for you, I am certain everything would have turned out all right for me.
It is absurd for you to look at the matter in that light. What you refuse to admit is that her liking for you was no more than first love, a passing fancy.
Oh, that's not true. It was you who made her change towards me, and now you intend to do it again. How ungenerous you are. When I found you had taken Elfriede from me, I didn't interfere, and you might, I think, Mr. Knight, do by me as I did by you. My guess is that you parted from Elfriede because of me. Isn't that true?
Yes. And if I were to tell you exactly how it happened, you'd be convinced of the impossibility of her still caring for you. I can't explain further. It is all too painful. But I promise you, Stephen, you're wasting your time. But if you won't listen to me, go on for heaven's sake. I don't care what you do. Do you still intend to go on with your plan?
Yes. I have decided to go on to Endelstow. Where am I? Oh, thank God.
You were asleep. You must have been dreaming.
It was a terrible dream, the most vivid I ever remember.
Oh, what was it?
Oh, nothing. Forget it. Here we are. This is Camelton. They're lighting the lamps.
Stephen, do you really intend to call on the Swancourt tonight?
No, I shall make inquiries first and stay at the Luxillian Arms. You'll go right on, I suppose?
No, I think it's too late. Besides, her father is as much at variance with me as with you.
I see.
There are a lot of people here. They seem to be meeting our train.
It's odd. Such a gathering at this time of evening.
Look at that coach over there. I think it must be a hearse.
I do believe it has come to collect the occupants of the somber carriage that has haunted us our entire journey. I recognize some of these men. They're from Endelstow.
Perhaps this is what gave rise to your dream. It is certainly a fine enough coffin.
Look. See who's there with the other mourners.
Mr. Swancourt.
I'll see if I can find out anything more. Excuse me. Hey! Jack! Didn't you recognize me? Stephen Smith.
Why, Mr. Smith?
Tell me, what has Mr. Swancourt to do with that funeral that has just gone on its way?
Him's her father.
Whose father?
The father of her that's in the coffin. She died in London and they bring her down by train. She go to her home tonight to be buried in the morning.
Come, Stephen.
Yes, sirs. What can I do for you?
Can we shelter with you for a few minutes till the rain stops or at least lets up?
By all means, come and dry yourselves by my forge.
Thank you, we will. May I ask what it is that you're working on?
It is a coffin plate for my young lady. A terrible thing it was for it to be so soon.
Elfried, wife? Spencer Hugo Luxillian, 15th Baron Luxillian, died February. Freed. Married. Elfried dead.
Denied us both.
Betrayed.
Shall we follow her any further?
No. We must leave her alone. She is beyond our love, so let her also be beyond our reproach. Since we don't know half the reasons that made her do as she did, how can we be sure that circumstance or accident did not overcome her intention?
It may be as you say. I wonder how she came to die.
Yes, sir? You were next.
Two glasses of whiskey, please.
Unity? Don't you recognize me?
Oh, it's Mr. Smith. And Mr. Knight, too.
Hello, Unity.
Oh, I'm so busy since I've been working here, I hardly have time to look up at a customer's face. I'm married to Martin Canister now, you know, sirs.
I'm delighted for you both.
We've only just learned of Miss Swan... of Lady Luxillian's death. Do you know what happened?
If you'll sit over there a while and dry yourselves by the fire, I'll come to you directly.
Unity married to Martin. How things change.
How things have changed for both of us, Stephen.
Here you are, sir.
Thank you.
Now, what was it you'd have me tell you?
About Miss Elfried. What happened? Exactly.
One day, just after you, Mr. Knight, left us for the last time, she was missed from home, and her father went after her and brought her back, ill. She was very unwell for weeks after. She said to me she didn't care what became of her, she wished she could die. I told her she'd live to be married yet. If you think it would turn my useless life to a practical account, then I will, she said. As you can guess, I didn't like to hear her carry on like that.
Of course.
The first Lady Luxellian had died, as you know. And Lord Luxellian was worried about his little girls left motherless. So they used to come and see Miss Elfried in their black frocks. I think they did it good. They were fond of her as ever they were of their own mother. And then it got so the Luxellians and Swancourts were always together. And people do say the little girls asked their father if Miss Elfried could come and live with them. One day I said to her, Miss Elfried, you don't look as well as you used. And if no one else seems to notice it, I do. She laughed a little and said, I'll be married soon, Unity, as you said I should. Shall you miss, I said. I'm glad to hear that. Who do you think I'll marry, she said. Mr. Knight, I suppose, I said. Oh, she cried. And turned off so white. Before I could get to her, she'd sunk down like a heap of clothes. Fainted away.
What kind of man must I have been?
Please go on, Unity.
When she came back to herself, she insisted we go on with our conversation. Better not today, I said. But, oh, yes, we must, she says. I want you to tell me truly who you think I'm going to be married to. My lord, is it, says I. Yes, it is, she cries in a sick, wild way. Well, after that, she freshened up a bit. And about a month before the wedding, anyone could see her and my lord and the two children riding about on horseback together.
And they married shortly?
Oh, yes, they married. The wedding was the same day as my own. And I think at the last she did want him. But my lord was so handsome and kind. I saw her smile and blush sometimes when he'd speak to her. I remember, the Thursday it was, before the wedding, he brought her a present. A bracelet with diamonds and emeralds. The roses came back into her cheeks then. I helped her dress the day she was married.
How did she come to die so far from home?
She grew even thinner. So my lord took the doctor's advice and they went abroad. On the way home, they stopped in London. And that was when she miscarried. And died. Excuse me, sir.
Was he very fond of her?
Oh, he was.
Very fond of her?
Oh, yes. Very, beyond everything. Not suddenly, but by slow degrees he grew to be. It was her nature to win people more when they knew her well.
I suppose the funeral is tomorrow?
Yes. The masons are down at the vault now, opening it up and cleaning down the walls.
What a dreary and depressing place this is. I have no love of vaults. For myself, I prefer to go straight into the earth.
Look over there, Harry.
Lord Luxillian. We need not doubt his grief, poor man.
I think we're intruding where we have no right to be.
You're right. We should go.
Oh, the irony of it, Stephen. She has another by her, closer to her than either of us.
Shall we shake hands and part?
No, Stephen. Let us go back together down the valley. Each of us must bear our own memories with us. But of one thing I am certain, that if we had not known Elfried Swancourt, our lives would have been immeasurably the poorer.
That was the final episode of A Pair of Blue Eyes by Thomas Hardy, dramatized for radio by Jane Beeston. The part of Henry Knight was played by Jeremy Irons, Elfried by Janet Moore, and Stephen, Michael Maloney. Parson Swancourt was played by Nigel Stock, and Mrs. Swancourt by Vivian Pickles. Lord Luxillian was played by Christopher Scott, Unity, Sheila Grant, and Mrs. Jethway, Anna Wing. Blacksmith, George Parsons, and Jack, John Livesey. Technical presentation by Janet Mitchell, assisted by Anne Hunt and Vanessa Elner. A Pair of Blue Eyes was directed by Cherry Cookson.